In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This is the great promise that our Lord gave to Nathanael. And in the epistle, we heard of all of the things that the people of God had gone through. All of the righteous of the Old Testament, what they did to adhere and suffer with their fellows, with the other people of God. They fled, as the epistle says, from the fleeting pleasures of this life, and instead chose to share in the ill treatment because they were part of the people of God. What I want to do today is connect these two things. They seem like they shouldn't go together. But suffering with God, and because of others' view of God, because we are united with Him, that is how we share in the perfect glory that God has for us. All of the Old Testament righteous, when they lived and they suffered sort of unknown, in a vague expectation of their salvation. But they hoped for what they had not yet seen. They waited until after their death to receive the promise of that coming Messiah. And it's only when Christ came and joined himself to humanity, and he gave and united human nature to himself, that then they could be made perfect. So then we fast forward to the arrival of Christ. After his incarnation, after he had taken and united humanity to himself, and we see Nathanael sitting under the shadow of a fig tree. He stands at the twilight line between Christ's holy illumination while he's contemplating the scriptures of the Old Testament. He couldn't know the Messiah before he could be in his presence. He could only read of the things of the Messiah. And what we hear today is Nathanael going and seeing his Messiah in the flesh and being changed by standing in the presence of the Lord himself. But how does Nathanael hear of the coming of the Messiah? Philip goes to him. He finds him sitting underneath that fig tree, and he tells him the good news of his own experience, of his own coming into the presence of the Lord. Philip goes and tells him essentially, the Messiah has come. The book that you are contemplating, it's the words pointing to the one who is now here. But Nathanael is caught up. He's tripped up and stumbling over these words of the words of Philip. And so Philip says something very, very simple to Nathanael. Come and see. In other words, come see for yourself. Seeing and believing. That is what's united today. We are prepared to come and see by our life and our trust. Those of the Old Testament and Nathanael, they were prepared. They thought, they contemplated, and they looked for what they could not yet see. They kept watch. In many ways, the Christian life, we could say, is divided up just like the years of the calendar itself. Everything before Christ and everything after the years of Christ's Lord and reign in our lives. We know this can't be all that there is. Without Him, we are sort of wandering and watchful, looking ahead. And when we are with Him, and when we are even partaking of Him, then we know that we have all that there is, all that is necessary. We have our Lord and our God before us. When this happens, two things occur. We are healed, we become whole, and we see the kingdom of God before us. When we are in Christ's presence, He becomes our guide and our healer. Even when we are under the shadow of our own tree, we can't quite see where it is or when the fulfillment will happen. God sees us and he calls us, just as he does for Nathanael through Philip, just as he did for all of the Old Testament faithful as he descends into the depths of Hades, as in several weeks we will commemorate, and Christ came and brought them out of that depth, out of that shadow. We too, who stand here and sit here and listen to these words and worship today, we can come to know Christ as he is present with us now, if we are like Nathanael and that praise that Christ had for him. He calls him a man without guile. He had no ulterior motive when he came and saw Christ. He simply wanted to see, is it fulfilled? Is this the coming one? I need to know for myself. So we see the kingdom and we are in it now, my brothers and sisters. This is what the church is. It's the presence of God here on earth. It is where we come and stand before him. It is his very body in our midst. That is why we gather here. That is why we gather within these walls today. To see God and to see the other members of his body that are made perfect by him. And with them, we begin to be made perfect too. In other words, we come to be in the presence of God. When we come to him without guile, like Nathanael, his presence then enlightens us in an instant. There was no space of time where Nathanael, when he was with Christ, that there was this long or lengthy dialogue, but immediately he knew who he was. The heavens are opened to Nathanael, and the great cloud of witnesses is revealed to him. These things, being in the presence of God and seeing his kingdom, they happen immediately and simultaneously. All of us, this is what is opened, and this is what we can witness today on this day that is called the Sunday of the Triumph of Orthodoxy. It is about the celebration of the reality of the incarnation of the Son of God and Christ that is manifested in his saints. The triumph of the gospel, in other words, and the unity of the faith that we have by Christ, by him alone, that is proclaimed in the images that surround us in this room, and that we will walk with in just a short amount of time, that is what we are celebrating. That is the triumph that is before us of Christ and his rule and his reign in our life, of his kingdom coming to us this day. And we proclaim that in image and in word. And today, when we call it the triumph of orthodoxy, we call it that because it is the time when the church saw those who hated the image of God, and they tried to banish that image of God. They came with ulterior motives. They came trying to think of some other way to do this that was perhaps better. But the church, in the end, just like the righteous of the Old Testament who suffered for the people of God and with them, chose not the pleasures of this world, but suffered for the simple truth that God had become man, that we might become God by grace. And that is manifested in the material reality of the world, in paint, in embroidery, in carving, when we see the Lord depicted and one of his saints depicted, we are declaring that reality before us. The icons, the altar, they are a revelation of the reality of the kingdom of God in our midst, the reality of Christ's presence. By icons, we proclaim that unity and the holiness that is open to us human beings. It is open to us because of the reality of the material now being imbued with the uncircumscribable God himself, who united and contained within his human flesh the uncontainable God. Because the Son of God became man, each man can now become a God by grace. To become a God, the first step is to flee from pleasures of sin, just like the righteous of the Old Testament did and awaited for the coming to be made perfect, to share in the ill treatment of God and the mockery of God by the world. That's the next step. A saint is a member of his body, and so they suffer with Christ. And in turn, Christ unites us to himself to perfect us, to make us one with him. In that way, we participate in the holiness of God himself. Those who surround us in the icons, Christ himself, chiefly with the Mother of God, this is what they did. They are the ones who have run the race and have become triumphant. They've entered into heaven. They've finished and been victorious because they have been with Christ, who is the victorious one. The Old Testament saints, they awaited for that reality to come to them. But it is with us here and now. The presence of the God-man and Savior, we can see him. We can depict him and receive the blessed joy of the Messiah now. They waited, and we partake with them and us together. The kingdom of heaven is here and now. The Holy One is among us. The icons, they're just a proclamation of this reality. The short synodicon that we will say together today at the end of the Divine Liturgy is the proclamation of our participation in God through his continued incarnation in the church. His presence here. If we have no guile, we will see God before us. We will see past the paint or the embroidery or the carving, and we will see God. We will even begin to see God in our fellow man who is made in his image. A guileless person like Nathaniel will see heaven opened before them and know that they are standing in the midst of heaven, especially when standing in the holy temple. St. Nikolai of Ohrid comes and makes this connection of Philip's come and see invitation to Nathaniel with this exact iconography of the church. The icons, he says, present this majestic, fearsome, and beloved reality to us faithful. The icons represent the invisible world of the heavenly powers to remind them of the constant presence of these powers in the world. We come and see in the church and before the icons, and in the midst of this is the kingdom of God, and we are changed. The triumph is one of the remnant that remains faithful to the truth and to the one whom we know will be victorious. It is not just a triumph that took place at one time and then faded, as all earthly history accounts for, as things that fade away into memory. No, the triumph is the one of the Son of God over sin, the devil, and death itself, that now becomes your triumph over sin, death, and the devil. His beloved creature can be made perfect and enter into his triumphant kingdom. The saints are in our midst, and we are in theirs. We stand in the same court and council of God. The icons manifest this spiritual reality. We gather with the perfect and strive to finish our own life and enter into that triumphant church in heaven with them. In our small ways, we, before that time of our death, we take that triumph into the world and invite, like Philip did to Nathaniel, sitting under the shadow of the tree. We have found him, our Savior, the Messiah. Come, see. That is the call that we have before us today. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, celebrate the perfection of humanity. Celebrate the triumph of Christ our God and his saints that we hold before us as we process with the icons. But don't let that stop here on just this property. As we encircle the church with triumphant hymns and the triumphant ones in our hands, but go forth and share as Philip did with Nathaniel. Tell others to come and see. come see for yourself. Make that the excited proclamation ever on your lips to those that you meet and speak with, and God will do wondrous things. Amen.